Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, oh boy, the number one book boy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", normally considered tall, but not on this episode of High and Mighty. 307 pounds, normally considered overweight, is also considered overweight on this episode. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, my newly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Oh, he's not here. From the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's Johnny G. All you got to do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, I normally introduce you before Arthur, but okay, got it. Abortion is healthcare. Thanks, brother. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, you know him, you love him, he's returning from Good at Parties. It's the Gentle Giant, Ross Kimball.
I got to tell you, if you aren't in the room for this, it's a completely different scary. Because in person, it's wild. On the screen, you just want to get in your car and drive over to your place and give you a hug.
And start giving me CPR. That's
right. I'm going to check those vitals.
Oh, man. Ross, how you been? We've been in text communicado, but I haven't seen you in a hot minute. You're a father of two now.
A father of two. We got a 2.5-year-old and almost a 2-month-old here. We're busy, busy over here. We love it. And yeah, we've been chatting a bunch. I will say, Gabris, you, I guess people that don't know you well wouldn't consider you good at texting. They would just assume that like you're bad at texting because you're just busy and you're a rambling guy. You're very good. You actually surprised me the first time we started hanging out. I was like, oh, this guy won't have time for me. He's got like all these people. But you get back within 3 days. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I got 72 hours. I'm usually in cryo sleep for 48 hours. So like I'm getting like cold shock proteins, revitalizing the fast twitch muscle fibers. Then I come out and I'm ready to text. I'm like, that's right. All right, I got a couple of miss from Ross. All right.
And that universal soldier healthcare is working out great for you, huh?
Really good. Yeah, all I got to wear a necklace of ears of the VC that I've killed. Dude, Ross, I miss you, man. We got to get a camping trip in, or we got to get a big striding hike in together or some shit.
We got to get a couple of kilometers in under our feet very soon. Last time we hung out in person, it was right after our camping trip.
Right.
And it was, 4 hours in the car of complete silence. You're not a chatter in the car.
No.
Which is surprising. No. You don't get chatty.
I was on Zoom recording some other podcasts. I did two Action Boys on the ride. Yep. Made you guys be quiet the whole time.
You zip-tied pillows over our head for the whole ride.
Now, for the listeners, me, Ross, and Mike Mitchell, three... But definition of not small men.
No,
got in my wagon with all of our camping supplies for two nights camping trip with two locations, and it was a tight squeeze. Mitch was sitting like bitch in the back with like stacks of coolers next to him on both sides. Like That was the hardest my engine has ever worked in its entire career.
Oh, when we were heading up the hills, I was leaning forward just to help the car. I was getting so nervous. But honestly, the place where we went, and I go to the Eastern Sierras. A lot of people go to the Western Sierras, closer to the ocean. I like to take that that Eastern Sierra road, like where they shot all of the Westerns back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Owens Valley, where they stole all that water.
The Chinatown Valley.
Chinatown. If you watch Chinatown, it's all about that. I just love showing people that side of California, because it's not in people's minds where they think of California. But in my mind, California is beaches and then just really sharp mountains right up against you for like hours at a time. It's on your left side the whole way up.
It's so fucking rad. And like, you know, people are like, when you think of California, if your brain goes to just Los Angeles and San Francisco, you're like missing out on what California can be. Yeah. Like, even LA has mountains. Like, Los Angeles has mountains. Like, there's a mountain range called the Angeles. Like, it has the word Angeles in it.
Yeah.
This mountain range. It's that close to Hollywood Boulevard, to Tent City. Like, it's so insanely diverse, like, in good and bad ways, where it's like billionaire neighborhood. Low income neighborhood, mm-hmm. and gorgeous freaking nature. Yeah, crazy.
Well, and we had this too, when we're talking, this is after like 2.5 weeks of rain. And as we know, it rains in LA, it just opens up, everything's clear. You got the Simpson clouds, and it snowed too. And I was talking to my wife about this, and I was saying, this is why people moved here back in the day. It was completely different, and it also looked like four different places at once. So that's why people started shooting here. I live out in the valley, and I was coming down into the city for something, and I was driving down the 405, and it just opened up, and there were a few cars in front of me, but it just opened up, and it looked like Colorado. There was snow on the mountains.
Yeah,
it was clear. And I said, oh, this is why people moved here back in the day. And then, of course, 2 days later, you couldn't see those mountains.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, and also, like, you're like, the beautiful rain's clearing everything up. It's like, don't look at the ground, because we're not ready for this much water down there. Like, I live.
What are you doing with no shoes on?
Right? Hey, man, it's raining, man. It's all clear. This spring is going to be, you know, we're talking April and May is going to be some good fucking hiking, good nature viewing, because we're going to get some super bloomage. We're going to get a lot of green.
I was
going
to say,
have
you ever been out there in Orego Bonanza or something? I always forget the name of it, but the wildflower bloom. Have you ever been down there?
I went to the Antelope Valley, I think, for the like orange. Is that the wildflowers, like the orange shit that everyone wants to go see?
Yeah.
Like that my wife needed to take pictures in front of? Yeah,
oh, absolutely. You got to. There's another one, and it's like all purple flowers, and there's two Mexican restaurants in the town, and they get slammed for like 2 weeks if it rains in the winter. And my wife and I went, and we went to the Mexican restaurant, I guess the bad one, because there was no one in that restaurant. And there was a line out the door for the other one.
You're like, oh, let's go to the one with no line. Oh, that's why there's no line. Yeah, like one bite in.
Yeah, two bites into my tostada, and I was like, oh, this is not it.
They built this place when they had overflow at the other place 3 weeks in a row. It's like, well, I guess we can make a case. I guess Brian here can whip up a quesadilla.
Have you been on any hikes or any camping trips since?
I've done some hikes. I've done one camping trip to Leo Carrillo, which was last season, last warm season, which was... Yeah.
And if you're listening, that's beach. That's like a beach camp, which is completely different, but that's totally your vibe.
Yeah. We had the weird, sandy, like underneath the overpass across the street kind of part of Leo Carrillo, where it's like, it feels like Thornhill Broom, and like, well, it feels like a normal campsite, but then you're weirdly walk over and there's just a bunch of surfers and like guys getting out of there. And it was really rad. But the beach there is one of those crazy rocky beaches that only like veteran light little dudes that have surfed in that break forever can like get safely on and off the board. We're like, yeah, we'll do some body surfing. We're like, ow, ow, no, right. get out of here. This is too dangerous. And like, just instead, we just did mushrooms and stared at the fucking waves.
And those are the rocks too. Like they're large, and there's just different sizes of them. And that for me, I don't hate, but it bothers me. Like little tiny spindly surfers, they just walk on the balls of their feet on that, and then they just hop in the water like it's nothing.
And they get on their board when it's like 4 inches of water, yeah. Where if you and I did that, the fin would go like strike oil and like we would be, our
like
paws
Bigfoot.
Would be yeah. in the rocks. Yeah, we would be like swimming like a fucking otter or something like that. But these guys are like, these guys are riding waves and then like, I wipe out at the end of a wave. I've yet to like figure out the cool way to like people drop back down, turn around, start paddling. I only know how to ride it for as long as I can and then wipe out. These guys ride it. And then when their wave's done, they just drop down back to their stomach because you don't want to go into the water. You don't want to jump off the board. So they just drop back down to their stomach, turn and paddle right out. Now they're fully doing like a cardio exercise that I just don't have. I'm not built for. I'm not built for that kind of surfing.
No. I was going to say that's a different body type and a different mentality too. Yeah, it's like you're bailing and you're finding you're finding rocks to fall on. But Leo Carrillo is maybe one of the dangerous, but it's also popular all the time. That's what if you go to, there's one called Whitney Beach or it's up in Ventura, but it's right off the 101. And my friend invited me up once and Jenny and I went and it was a mixture of people that camped all the time, like car camped all the time. And then people that look at pictures of camping and think that they can do it.
Yeah. And, there's a good,
and so
let's talk about, let's get into the specifics for a second, but let's talk briefly about like the types of people you run into doing these, the kind of genres of campers that we have here in LA. Cause it's got a little specific, especially now in we got like people who clearly do car camping. We got people who like Instagram posts. And then I think we got like party animals who are like, hey, we could like sleep in our cars around a fire if you want. Like we could just get blasted in this location instead of a bar or my basement or whatever. Like I feel like those are the three energies that go there. People are like, I'm going to hike and make a breakfast burrito in the morning. And I brought my little instant coffee maker, you know, like it's going to be cute with me and my friend. And then other people are like, I got a duffel bag of mushrooms and 6 cases of beer. And then there's also people who are like, I brought gorgeous brand new Arc'teryx and I'm gonna get like 11 photos done in different spots.
And then with that it weaves in, that is those are the big ones, but then also there can be crossovers where people they're gearheads, but then like any type of wind or any type of dust that gets anywhere close to them, they're done, but they have a $600 raincoat on.
right.
Or you have the people that like, for me, I was fortunate enough when I was a guide, we have like these pro deals where you can get all like this crazy stuff for pretty inexpensive just because you're a gear, because you're a gearhead number one, and also you're a guide. And so I wear this stuff and I look like a millionaire because I have a bunch of Patagonia stuff.
Right.
That's because I worked there for a long time and then I got that through guiding. But people, I look like I own 3 boats.
Right.
But that's just because of
that type of camper also usually we ran into a few of those when we did Big Pine. Yes. Those are the people who usually have like some fully like, I just paid a guy $9,000 to put this thing on top of my brand new Jeep Wrangler. And it's like, or I have this dope ass Sprinter van that I just convert, like that doesn't feel like they built it or it's not that like rugged. It's just kind of like I bought this.
Yep.
Sight unseen, and now this is what I camp in. And those people love to talk about their setups.
Gear setups, and you and I both like salivate when we see those Jeeps or those 4Runners with, you know, the rooftop tents.
Yes.
And they have the 4-rung ladder that you don't need, but it's on the back to get up. You know, you don't need it. And the shovel, you know, shovels on the side to get you out.
A water can, a gas can. It's like, what the fuck, dude? We're driving we're 90 minutes outside of LA.
Right.
Malibu is actually 15 minutes that way, guys.
So going back to what you're saying, there are like these archetypes, but my favorite are the people that love the idea or they just see me camping a lot. And I think this is how you and I started connecting more, where it's like, oh, you camp a lot? Yeah, I camp a lot. And I bring people and it's usually they don't have any gear and I've got all the gear, so I'll do all that stuff. But then once they start seeing camping, it's like anything you drop into. Like if you get into pool or rugby or if you get into, you know, cooking pans, you want to start buying all the gear.
Right.
Especially if you have that in your head where like you're just a gearhead and I have all these pocket knives. I'm not a pocket knife guy. I was just a pocket knife guy for 2 weeks.
Right, right.
You know?
you're preacher, choir. I mean, everything. The second you're like, especially like as you get older and you have like a little bit of disposable income for the first time in your life, you're like, well, I'm into weed. It's like, okay, let me buy a joint roller, my own glass bong, my own dehydration. Yep. Like you're just trying. You're like, this is something I could use. You know, you get into fitness. You're like, shit, I need bands. Oh, shit, I need these kind of socks. Ooh, I love these kind of socks. Let me get eight pairs of them. Oh, I love this pocket knife. Let me get two more. Yep. You know,
let me get these Olympic rings that I can attach to my garage.
Right. Yeah, I need these. I'm going to be doing muscle ups in no time. Trying to imagine a 6 foot seven guy doing muscle ups, doing smashing your cross. Head.
Just doing an iron cross, shaking.
The structure of your whole house fucking vibrating. Ross put his head through the garage ceiling again. We got to get the contractor down here. Doing kipping pull ups directly in through the fucking roof of your house.
She's splitting 2x4s with your forehead.
Well, someone, maybe you, told me what the trick is. Buy something new, one new thing for yourself every time you go camping. And that's what I've been doing. And right now I have a tent. I have a sleeping bag. I have a sleeping pad. I have a big Patagonia, a big North Face duffel. And you got me a headlamp as a gift when we did camping together. So now I have a headlamp and I have like a big knife. And like I'm like, next up is like,
water filtration system.
Good call. That's what I did next.
And those are easy and they're under like $50. Now, like when I started guiding, those things were close to $200. And now it's like this little thing. It looks like a little fountain pen. And they're like, yeah, this can get 600 gallons of water. Yeah. Through this? Yeah. Yeah.
I love those like those survival straws. It's like, just lean down to a puddle and drink out of it with the straw and it like filters it. I'm like, what? That's so cool.
I know this is the show, but I have to go down a rabbit trail. I've been really getting into preppers lately. Oh. And people
they're
that,
close.
And
campers and preppers have a big Venn diagram, we should say.
Because they're gearheads and also campers and like big time campers and hikers and people like backcountry people and preppers are always the ones to say, you'll see. Right. Oh, you don't have a raincoat? You'll see. Oh, you don't have 600 pounds of beans? You'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's always like, well, when the rain starts, you're going to be coming to me to my Sub-Zero tent. Mm-hmm. When the fucking water wars start, you're going to be coming to my basement to get some bean cans.
Sub-Zero tent. What is it? It's like a down tent.
Yeah, it's so super heavy to carry. It's like it takes forever to set up. It has 28 poles holding it up. It's got a space heater inside and shit.
One time we were in Colorado and a few of my friends were out in the backcountry. We were like maybe 2.5 miles back in the backcountry, and it takes a while. Like it takes like an hour or so. Like if you're going up elevation, it takes like maybe 2 hours to get a mile. Right. So we're like deep, and these two guys come up on our site and they're passing us, but you know, you have a little chit chat and you're like, hey, what's past here? It's like, we don't know, this is our first time here. Which, just never tell anyone that you don't know where you are. Like if you're in the backcountry, if you don't know anything back, just say, oh, I think there's like a river back there. Just lie and just pretend that you know what's back there. You never want to be the newbie. And so anyway, we said, oh,
pretty
we
sure there's some trees, it's beautiful over there. You're going to love it, guys.
Hey, listen for the birds. You want to listen to those birds.
Hey, shut the fuck up for a second. Just take a little, listen to those birds. That? Gorgeous, right?
Did you hear that? Due east. And so we were chatting, and these guys had nothing. Like we went back with our 60-liter packs, and they were like close to 60 pounds. We have all this gear with us, and they had maybe a JanSport backpack that was pretty full, but it was nothing to put in the backcountry. And we knew that these guys didn't have a sleeping bag. They had two guys, no sleeping bag. And we knew that because one of them asked, hey, do you guys have an extra sleeping bag?
An extra sleeping
bag. And we were like, for who? And we're like, oh, my buddy here, he forgot his. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And it was that archetype. These guys were in cargo shorts and walking shoes, not trail shoes, just walking shoes, bandanas, like no communication that they can get out or anything. These guys were about to fall. It was just,
it's a little scary. It's a little scary.
It was scary. And it was one of those moments where you're waiting for one of them to be like, can we just hang out with you guys?
Yeah. And pull a gun out and be like, give us your
fucking
sleep bag. And it's 50-50,
right? Yeah, right. And it's 50-50. And there's so many stories of that where it's just wild people, especially Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail back here. In California, there's just so many.
Those are the trails that people kind of like live on for a period of time, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. You disappear. It takes 9 months to do the AT, Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine. And they usually tell you to do top down. But if you do bottom up, it's horrible because that last trek in Maine, it's close to like 40 miles of nothing.
Oof. Like,
and you know, you have to drop your food and you have to pick up your food in town. And anyway, so these guys, they leave that we were talking to, they leave. And that night we were talking, and it's always very, very quiet. You know this. You and Mike even mentioned it. We were in Lone Pine or Alabama Hills, and that's where it's just free camping. And we were sleeping. And I think Mike got, I love Mike, but I think he's a little scared. And he turns to me and he goes, so is it always this quiet out here? I'm like, oh yeah, dude, it's the best.
That's why we go.
Like, he goes, that's but as you even said, it's like deafening quiet because you're used to your noises.
Yeah. You don't realize how much like low level noise is in your life if you live in the suburbs or the city at all until you go deep into BLM land where you're just driving looking for a fucking spot. You get out and I would say it's a two-part thing too, because the darkness of no light, of no artificial light, is insane, because you're like, oh, it'll be like a movie. And it's like, yeah, no, movies are still lit. Like, you can see when you get out of your car in the Alabama Hills and fucking deep into your parking spot or deep into your camping spot, and you shut off the headlights of your car, it's dead blind. It's like, and it's
until you look up,
and then you're see like, the oh, blanket. Shit.
It's pretty amazing. Going back to just the ending of it, I turned to my buddy and I was like, man, that was scary. Like, those guys, what are they doing out here? And he's like, I don't know, man, but I mean, they're here for the ride. And you, as you know, as you get in like subcultures, everyone just has these phrases, but dirt bags, which are people that go in the backcountry a lot, or guides, they're here for the ride. And also, I was like, they probably could have killed us. And my buddy, who's like still a dirt bag to this day, meaning he's still guiding and raft guiding, he's like, man, it'd be a beautiful place to die, wouldn't it? And then he just rolls over in his sleeping bag. And I'm kind of like a new guy in this. And he rolls over and just goes to bed like it's nothing. And I'm up for the next four
Mike,
hours.
Mike.
I'm next for the next 4 hours.
Headlamp on, full brightness, just stare, whipping back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's time for an ad. And what better ad than to be talking AG1? That's right, Athletic Greens. I'm recording this ad in the morning, just 1 hour on the other side of smashing down my Athletic Greens in the morning. Woo! Before I even make my coffee, before I even start my day, I smash down. I enjoy the flavor. It makes me feel ready to take on my day, like I'm doing something good for my body, super easy. Again, I know I've said this like 100 times on the pod, but this is truly, it's just a simple, basic step you can take that starts helping you and like right away off the rip, as the kids say, right off the tip. You start the day with a healthy choice that involves getting your 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced super ingredients of the highest quality that give me the major benefits like gut, mood support, energy support, even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. It's delivered to me every month, so it's been super easy to make a daily habit. I'm going to San Diego with my in-laws. I'm packing up my single travel kit packs so I can have AG1 in the morning in the hotel. It's, you know, when you're on vacation and you're, you know, cutting loose, it feels good to make sure you still get your 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source super ingredients in the morning. You know, get that in, get some 12 ounces to 16 ounces of water down, 20 ounces, whatever you need dilution wise. I think I do about 15 or 16 ounces, goes down smooth. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. Athletic Greens. There's something about now, because of my, you know, I'm still just dipping a toe into it. I've still only been on like, you know, 6 overnights, 2 nights. The only time I've ever done 2 nights was with you and Mike. I have never done pack in camping, you know, like backpacking camping. I've never done that. It's all been
That should be our next one.
Yeah.
That should be our next one. Yeah.
If not this summer, we're doing the Glacial Lake at least. Yeah.
We got to get a picture of you in there, man.
I know. I got to get my budgie smuggler contract popping off by getting out in the middle of the fucking Glacial Lake.
Beautiful.
So I've only done this, but when you run into like real, we always call them crumb bums, like the kind of like crusty camper, but you see them called dirt bags a lot. And then I get on Instagram, and Instagram is serving me a lot of these kind of camping and climbing and van life and car life people's these influencers. And man, it's a fucking vibe. And I tell you, if I was a single man and this point in my career, I might become a guy who's like, and what's up? We're making fucking steaks on the cast iron here at the fucking foot of Mount Shasta or whatever.
Absolutely. If my brain wasn't broken, and I didn't love comedy and performing so much and just loving the applause, I would have turned myself into just an all-time full-time guide after that first summer that I guided in Hawaii.
Right. And going where the season is and
Oh yeah. I would have like a 91 Celica just as a town car, but then I'd be living out of my F-350 white van.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, it would be, and just, I don't know. It would be a totally, totally different life, totally different life. And the people that you meet, it's the guys, you know, that are pretty cool, but also they're like a half step behind with kind of everything that's happening in the world, which
in
is
a good way, in like
which
a
is
kind
appealing.
Of like, yes. Yeah.
Where you bring up, man, this bank stuff is wild. Right. And you're like, yeah, man, I don't really put my money in the bank. And you're like, all right, I don't know what you're talking about.
And so your first reaction to someone like that is like, what a fucking nut. And then like a half hour later, you're like, right, so you're not like stressed at all about like the market or anything. Like, oh wait, hold on, you're smart.
And the girls that you meet, like when I was guiding, the girls that you meet, 98% of them, you immediately fell in love with them.
Oh,
not
man.
Like, oh, I've got a crush. You're just like, oh, I could spend the rest of my life with you. And the other 2%, it took like 3 hours for you to fall in love with them.
Yeah, there's something very, I mean, it's so hetero of me, but like a crunchy woman who's just like, in like a sports bra chopping wood or like walking around her mud covered Subaru Outback going like, what the fuck? I'm like, yes, I'm in love. You know, like a woman with a knife is always like appealing, whether they're a chef, a hunter, an outdoorsy person, a woman wielding a knife, not in a threatening way. There's something attractive. Okay. I mean, to be honest, to enhance climax, I highly recommend knife play in the bedroom.
When I was guiding, we had this week of training, and it was just all the guides for the summer. So the people that were going to Alaska, Colorado, Bolivia, the people that were doing scuba diving in Belize, all these people, we came together, and it was just training. And it was my first time. I was a teacher and I was doing improv at night. And one of my students was like, hey, do you want to work for my parents' company? I was like, yeah, sure. And like, yeah, we have a week of training in Colorado. I go, and you just are around all these people that are just so in tune with nature, so comfortable with themselves and just want to give. And they just want to share outdoors with other people. And I was every girl, I was like, oh my gosh, like you, there are other people like this. There are people like you here. And hold on, you have friends that are like this and you only hang out with these people?
Yeah, well, being heterosexual men, like you feel that same energy towards like a wilderness guy. You're like, I want to be you. You know what I mean? So like you want to be with the woman or you want to be the man? Yeah.
There were three guys that are still guiding to this day. And I met them the first night of training. And I stayed up all night and we were just talking about their experience, which was so different from mine. But then at the end of it, I turned to Tucky and he's from Kentucky. And he goes, man, so what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Like, do you want to do this? Or like, this is your first time, you want to teach? And I go, I just want to do what you're doing, man. Whatever you're doing. And he goes, I don't even know what I'm doing, man. I just show up. I get paid $100 a day to guide people down the Snake River. And as long as everyone's staying alive, we're having a good time. And he's still probably living off of peanut butter sandwiches.
He's probably still making a hundo a day. Yeah.
No tan lines. Only Choco tan lines on his feet.
Hell yeah.
And he's just living it, man. Living
my dream. Yeah, yep. Dude. The crumb bum life really, really appeals to me. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to design a high and mighty tour. So if your city's in the Southwest or along the California coast, get prepared because I might be doing a little crumb bum car driving and camping and BLM land and car sleeping tour. Save some money and book some.
You know what you should look into? Like a brewery tour would be perfect for you.
Oh yeah, because they let you a lot of breweries let you just fucking boondock in their parking lot.
Yeah, they let you. They open up the cast iron vaults and you just cannonball into the beer.
Yeah, they're like, come rinse off in here. Rinse off in the Pilsner, brother. Wash them dirty ass feet in the Pilsner, my friend.
but for real, you should think about that. Like Denver, Colorado Springs, like Durango. Like just do that little loop. People would follow you.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
I'm very curious. Yeah, I'm trying to find some smaller venues in weirder cities and then get a little park, national park time in there and make a little cash. Listen to 1,000 audiobooks. Lose my mind in fear of sleeping alone in a campsite for the first time.
I've been listening to this new podcast where it's just all people that disappeared in national parks.
Oh!
It's all the disappearances. And a lot of them, three of the ones, back to back, have been ones that I've gone to and actually slept in the backcountry of these places. And I joke around about believing in Bigfoot and just dumb stuff like that. But a lot of it are people straight up vanishing through portals, or it's wild. Or there's a famous one where I think it's in Michigan, and they're in the woods and they ended up, they're cross country skiing and they ended up 70 miles or 80 miles away from where they lived within 2 hours waking up. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation.
No, it's not. It's the same conversation. This conversation we need to have under the starlight in our fucking five-person tent that only you and I sleep in.
Diagonally. And our toes hitting at a V formation. Okay, let's get into that. Conversations. The best conversations I've ever had have been outside after a long hike under the stars, getting a little drinking a little bit or smoking a little bit, and you just open up. And there are times where, you're just crying and you don't know this person's story and you've known this person for years. But it's just something about nature where the guard goes down, the walls, you get to peek above the wall a little bit.
It's a removal from your comfort. It's interesting because it's a removal from your designed comfort zone, but it's a whole new type of comfort. It's you're talking fresh air. Maybe you just got some longest day outdoors you had in a long time, hiking and shit. Yep. Now, nothing tastes better than outdoor beers. Nothing tastes better than outdoor post-intense activity beers. And now you're combining all that and the power of a fucking fire. The power of a fire, it's so primal to sit around a fire. You almost feel like you need to offer something to the fire gods about yourself. It's hard not to be weirdly raw around the campfire because you're beat. You can't really see your friend. So it gets a little glory hole-ish where you're I can't really see Ross's face as I talk about me disappointing my dead father or whatever. So I don't feel that reverse. I don't feel the judgment. I just feel the release of talking about it or whatever.
Well, and usually you're talking to the fire. You're not looking at people's reactions. You're not looking at people's reactions. You're not as you are just unloading something, or if you have a strong opinion about something, you're telling it to the fire. And the silence, that is the one thing I've noticed about people. If people that have immediate reaction, I do this usually where I have to react or respond, the quietness. I just want people to know it's okay. It's okay. When you're in front of a fire, the fire picks up that silence. It takes the crackling of it. No one has to talk.
Yeah.
You can drop something hard and you can just sit in it and just hear the.
I know the joke crackling. Is the fire, they call it cowboy TV. It's true though. If with a little And, you know, if you're having a couple of beers or smoking a little weed or eating a little psilocybin, you could watch a fire for a handful of hours and gain. And then all of a sudden, nothing, especially most of my camping experience, I've gone camping with friends and their partners a few times, but mostly it's been like a couple of dudes. And like, there's something about it primal in genetics where we're like, oh, wait, hold on. Like, got to get up and like. Adjust the fire a little bit, and I don't know shit about building a fire, but I'm like, well, I probably should put the next log like this, you know. And like, I'm like, everybody's got an opinions, everyone's got like a metal stick or a knife that they're using to move shit around, like we all
it's also
that.
it's you know, let's say it's you, me, and Mitch sitting around a fire. You get up, you get a log, you lay it, and it would just be quiet for a few seconds, and then either Mitch or myself would get up and just adjust it just a little bit.
Right. Just
you know,
enough
without saying anything.
To participate. And be like, oh, okay, yeah, did I fuck it up? It's like, no. I wanted dash. I wanted a little
We got a little air. You got a little breathe a little bit. Yeah. If you get we gotta watch backdraft. Right before
oh yeah, be careful. Don't
know how it breathes.
Shadow. here's a question. When are you gonna take the boy camping? Like, I mean, he's gotta be old enough that it's not stressful for you, or at least not super stressful, and old enough that he can like take in some of the joy of it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he was a little over a year when we took him camping. We went to Alabama Hills. We car camped, and Alabama Hills is, you know, if you watch any Western from like the 40s to the 60s, that's what it looks like. And there's no bathrooms. We drive in everything. We got him like a little onesie that he sleeps in. He slept like a champ. Actually, we've taken him camping twice. This last time, Jenny was pregnant. And so she had her own mattress. And so she slept on. I forgot my mattress because there's a miscommunication. I thought we were going to be on the mattress together, but apparently she wanted her own, which is fine. So I laid a blanket
pregnant wife. All tie goes to the runner there. Yes. Like everything is like, yep, you're right. I'll sleep standing up. I'm not
listen,
fucking with this.
Yeah. When you're pregnant, you don't even have to get in the batter's box. You just go right to first base.
Right, skip it.
So we have his little, you know, pack and play in the corner. We have like an 8-man tent for the family, and it's super high, and it's the worst thing to bring to Alabama Hills because it's so windy and it's like 8 feet high and it's just hitting everything. It's just flapping. Yeah. I'm putting rocks inside the tent so it's not going anywhere. Anyway, I lay down a little piece of not a piece but a blanket, and I sleep in there, and we have his pack and play open, and in the middle of the night he crawled over, and I held him all night, and it was like super cold, and it was one of those moments where, you know, you're outside, you're hearing the howling wind.
Son is like sleeping in your arms, feeling comfort. This shit is like fucking. Yeah,
it was great.
The paleo diet. Fuck skipping dairy and grains. That's some caveman level shit of like spending the night sleeping within a foot of your family underneath the stars and hearing nature. Yeah,
it was great.
Hills. We should BLM, not Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Imagine that's just the one quote they pull out. Black Lives Matter. It's like, oh, Gabrus is anti-Black. No, BLM is the Bureau of Land Management, and they take care of a lot of these spots of land, and they are free camping. They're like a first come, first serve type situation. Yeah. Sometimes they're $15 sites or whatever, but it's mostly free. And you could just, as long as you bring all of your shit out. And I'm thinking, like, bringing your son, if he's in diapers, he's Gucci. Because I had to take a fucking shit on the ground at Alabama Hills. And that was my first, like, not, like, chosen, I need to take, I'm going to shit on the ground type situation.
Yeah.
And that was wild. Yeah.
Oh, especially at night? At night, it's scary.
No, it was, I luckily made it to the morning. Smash down your the oatmeal you made and my cold brew, Trader Joe's instant cold brew I brought, and then immediately was like, I'm gonna walk 40 feet away from this campsite, guys, and shit in a fucking hole.
it's wild, and there's like a saying in, you know, the camping and guide world where you want to have, it's like a 5-point system for when you go to the bathroom, especially when you take a dump. It's view, it's stance, it's like how fast you did it, and then also, like if you got anything on your clothes or boots. So it's like, was it a 1, 2, 3, or 4? Like, you know, all that stuff. So you want a good view. You can lean up against a rock.
Yeah.
It's tricky. If you've never done it before, it's
complicated.
Oh, yes. And what you just did, if you have a tree, what you can do is like put your arms around the little tree and then just lean back.
That's exactly what I did. Like stretch the lats, get my fucking posterior chain lined up, and fire a fucking rocket out.
Yeah. We call that the reverse Charmin bear.
It's also a sexual position that works wonders. You've heard of reverse
screaming
cowgirl?
That in the way Trader Joe's.
Yeah, wait till you try reverse Charmin bear.
It's great. I can't wait to take my kids camping. It's something that I did not grow up doing. Yeah. And now
same.
It's a part of the fabric of my life. I'll have this gear and we're just going to do it up.
Yeah. I mean, you live in the right fucking city for it too. Like Long Island was a little weird for camping. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the closest landmark is like the Empire State Building. It's like,
Illinois was the same. My friends grew up going camping, and I was like, where'd you go? And they're like, oh, Wisconsin or Indiana Dunes. And you're like, that's not even remotely fascinating to me. The Indiana Dunes, which is a national park now, which is cool. Yeah, it's like the most recent national park.
I really enjoy it, and I'll talk about why I enjoy it, because we mentioned some of those archetypes before, but I'm like, you know, a quarter crunchy, a quarter party animal, a quarter like spiritual, connected to nature, and a quarter like here's another pocket of campers I think that exist, and I'm a quarter of this too. Direct reaction to lifestyle, like, you know, just to go as far away from your current lifestyle of like, I spend a lot of time in front of a computer screen. I spend a lot of time typing here and talking here, and it doesn't feel real or doesn't feel like a human existence. Yeah.
A lot of people that get into this later in life is I've done everything and I just want to get away from it all.
Yeah.
But you like a lot of, you know, you say this about yourself and your friends say this about you, and I'll say this about you. Everywhere you go, you're going to fit in. Gabrus is going to fit in wherever, but especially in this outdoor world, people just assume, just by looking at you and your vibe and just your aura, that you have been guiding for a while, that you're comfortable sleeping outside, you know the good wood to get for the fire.
And meanwhile, I'm soft and dumb as fuck. But truly, my whole life, I've gotten like blue collar privilege because of the way I look. Meanwhile, like, my hands are delicate. Like, it's like, oh, big broad shouldered guy with a beard, you want to help me change a tire? I'm like, I have AAA stored in my phone. You know, like, I don't have any real skills.
Jeez.
One time we were camping in Malibu Canyon Creek, and you're supposed to park back in, and my buddy parked like head in, and his car died because he was like charging his phone, and so his car died, and we had to jump his car, but he was head in, and so it was facing like the woods, and it's like the only way to get a car around was to drive my Volkswagen station wagon kind of off road at the campsite. But then
the one that we drove?
Yeah. But then you get to like they have like those ankle high fences, like shin high fences, just so you don't drive where you're not supposed to drive. Yes. So now we got a fucking hatchet out, chopping this thing up all to get, like, we're like doing it like under the cover of dark too, because we don't want like the Rangers to see us. Like, so we chop a fucking fence up, lift it up, drive my car in, jump his car, drive my car out, fucking like fake the fence back together, and then like, all right, let's do mushrooms and hang out at the campsite.
Everything's good, and you're using that wood for the fire.
Sorry, yeah, we got cold last night, Mr. Ranger.
All that lacquer in it was not good to burn it up.
What are your
not
favorite
good to burn it up?
What are your favorite campsite meals? Because I think you look for certain parameters of the campsite meal. You kind of want something that's hearty, because you don't want to make three meals if you can afford it. You want to eat two, and you know, you're gonna have some snacks. You're gonna maybe have some drinks later. You're gonna definitely burn calories, and also you kind of want to keep it to one pot, one pan, or like doing dishes having the space. You happen to have one of those flat top, like fucking portable propane grills
like the Coleman, the Coleman two burner one. To answer your question, it's So if you're car camping and you have water and you have all that stuff and running water and you're around bathrooms, that's, you can do kind of doing anything. You can do steaks, you know, we
did boil water. You can make pasta. Yeah.
Yeah. That one time we did, what it was like steak and eggs, you know, like we had, it was frozen. It was like the balsamic steak tips from Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
that with some eggs. It was really easy. Man. Okay. So car camping meals, my favorite are just giant lumberjack scrambles.
Yep.
So it's like a bunch of eggs. We have peppers, potatoes, mushrooms, cheese. You know, you cut up two different sausages. And a lot of times it's just usually a lot of stuff can't keep. So it's like dry sausages, you know, cheese, dry cheeses, right. that kind of stuff. So you just throw everything in and you're just carbo loading.
Yeah,
pretty much. If you're going to be hiking that day.
The big scramble is the go-to breakfast move, mm-hmm. I feel like, when I'm camping. It's like, I'll do like, get that cast iron skillet going, you throw some ground sauce, like ground sausage or ground beef or ground turkey or something, some peppers, some onions, some whatever else, add like a dozen eggs and bust out some tortillas with some hot sauce, and everyone makes, because breakfast Easy. Burritos, or I got to the point where we were making, like when we were going camping with my friends, we would have some kind of burrito for dinner and some kind of burrito for breakfast, because it was just so easy to sit around the campfire easy. And you eliminate, you know, forks and knives for everyone if you can and stuff like that.
No plates. You know, you're handing out paper towels. My favorite backcountry meals are, you know, everyone has tortillas in their bag, and it's usually like you give the person that is the newest or like can't really carry a lot, like you give them the food. So it's like tortillas, we're gonna have peanut butter, jelly, like chips, things that are lighter light, and you throw all that together in a tortilla. So we just, I call it like a garbage burrito. So it's peanut butter, jelly, sliced banana, and potato chips.
Hell yeah.
And you put that in and it's just salty, it's sweet.
And it's like, yeah, that's like a dozen bad. Textures somehow. Out
nothing
of four,
tastes bad in the backcountry.
Yeah. That's another, you know what? Fuck, dude. There's something about being under, like you could drink a hot beer like in the backcountry and you're like, this fucking hits right now.
or things that you don't normally have. You're like, I never have really, really crunchy or hard granola bars. That's just not my thing. I like soft. But I'll throw it on two when I'm on the trail because I know I have to.
There's also sort of like the, you know, if you're an ex-athlete, like there's always that like game day mentality of like, well, I played today or I practiced really hard, I can eat whatever I want. And camping sort of is like, you need the calories, quote unquote, for survival. Even if you are, you can make that. It's a less of a case if you're car camping at Leo Carrillo.
I got to have these four Malibu fish fillets.
I drive through
by my car.
I brought McDonald's in my car and I fucking eat it in my car.
But those are like the best meals too. Like the backcountry, we'd be in the backcountry for like 4 or 5 days, just having tortillas. And like you'd have, you know, by the third day you get sick of it, but you are just like just consuming as much as you can. Like
it's fuel.
Go-Gurt. Like
yeah.
All those fuels. And then you come out of the backcountry and usually the stuff that you are just passing by, you're getting. Like you're getting Wendy's. You're going for it. And these are people, these are like crunchy people that eat clean. But you're seeing them inhale a Whopper with just so much mayonnaise on it.
I think me, you, and Mitch, we did like a fucking tray of biscuits and gravy at that grandma's diner kind of spot we went to. I ate a fucking, and we only hiked like, you know, 8 miles or 9 miles. It wasn't even we didn't even do the whole thing. We our eyes were bigger than our legs or whatever the expression is. I gotta start preparing for that shit.
I was just about to say, the other thing I love about camping is just the preparation of it. So it's, you know, planning where you're going to go and the waterfall, or, you know, during this time of year, it might rain. So you're getting all your gear together, but also getting your mind right and your body right. I'm doing a lot of deadlifts and a lot of like leg days. So I'll do like 3 days of leg day because I know I'll have long walks ahead of me. And there's like training regiments and, If you look at people that like go in the backcountry a lot, they are spindly. But you look at their legs, and it's just granite, and just beefy legs.
So
where it's like where they're wearing their boots and there's no calf definition because
right.
they're because it's so thick. But
their,
also ca-
their calves go like into their knee. It's like their knee is actually like weirdly their knee joint, their patella is like less thick than their calf is. And then their quad, like they're cinched at the leg, like the Michelin man or something. And then their quads blow back out and they got like fucking short Patagonia fucking hiking shorts on and quad and striated hamstrings and shit from just walking on an incline most of their lives. Like, it's so fucking awesome.
Well, and going back to what you're saying about your eyes being bigger than your legs, or, you know, biting off more than you can chew. Yeah, exactly. It's you have to be patient because everyone sees the mountaintop, and it is like an allegory for life or a metaphor for life where you just have to get on the trailhead and you get excited. You're hustling that first quarter mile, and then you have to realize, oh no, we're going to be on here for 6 hours,
right?
Just at the destination, and then
we
got to
come back. Yeah, right.
So we got to watch the sun. We can't stop. Like, have your camel back. Keep sipping. We can't stop a lot, but if you get tired, you have to let us know. Now that's the other thing too that I love, and you know this about me anyway, but I love just keeping it open. Be like, hey, if you are not feeling up for it, please do not be a hero. We can stop for a second.
Right, we had to have a heart to heart. I feel bad talking about Mitch behind his back, but he knows. We talked about it on this pod. We had to be like, I didn't know if I was going to make it all the way there and back, but Mitch was definitely like, he had like basketball shorts and like an Under Armour polo on. He was like not full and brand new.
He's wearing
new
penny loafers.
Yeah, he was wearing brand new hiking boots, which is as bad as wearing dress shoes on. You're better off in broken in tap shoes than you are in brand new hiking boots on the trail. And he was like, he didn't want it to quote unquote ruin it for us, but it was like, brother, if we get there, we still gotta come back. Like, and I don't even think we're not at like the timeline to make it there at a decent time. Like, we can't trap ourselves on the fucking, we can't be doing the last 4 miles after dark exhausted. Like, that seems like super dangerous. And so all of us, we were like, fuck it, let's turn around. And it was still a beautiful hike, gorgeous shit, great exercise, but it made me, because I'm broken in that comedy way, but I'm also broken in the, well, I can't believe I didn't do that. Now I have to do it. Like, I will be doing it.
Well, the worst thing is, you know, you have pictures online showing you what you missed. Ugh. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, this was two summers ago. We wanted to do it. This past summer, I was going with friends. I had it booked. I had the campsite booked. We were going, but then it fell on the same weekend. It was Labor Day weekend, which fell on the same weekend as the Creative Arts Emmys that I was asked to present at. And it was like, that's a cool opportunity for work, I guess. It was like,
no, you got to say yes to that. Right, you got to say yes.
Yeah, but that was one of those things where Tiffany was like, are you mad that this is happening? I'm like, this is just like, I've been looking forward to and hiking in preparation for this weekend all year.
Yep.
And now, so now I got to redo that for this summer. So expect an email with some, keep your Labor
Day open. I've already told my family. I've already told my family, we're doing it, baby. We're doing it. It's going to be great.
Going to your 2 month old. All right. Dad's got to go Labor Day hike with Gabrus. Remember the comedian guy I told you about on your birth? On the day of your birth, I told you all about him.
You met
remember
him
we played
like
High and
little,
Mighty
little.
While your mother was delivering you in the room?
The Zoom recording, not the audio. I had
Gabrus
send me
raw.
The Zoom recording.
I showed the video. The doctor actually really liked it.
But now this time we'll know it's a pack.
Yes.
You know, maybe you threw in an extra shirt that you didn't need, or there's going to be some heavier things. Maybe you don't need as much food.
Right.
You know, maybe it's more of a water thing. We'll have water filtration so we can have enough water. We get there. There's alpine lakes up there. So a lot of things that we can talk about, man. I'm pumped.
I'm really excited. Now, talking a little bit about the backcountry eating and packing, a buddy of mine, he does like a thing every year with a group of his guy friends from like college or whatever, where they do like a 5 or 6 day backcountry. Glacier National Park was his most favorite that he did recently.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
Yeah. I've been to that park actually, cause I lived in Montana for a short period of time. I want to go back again now that I care about nature more, but there's like an appeal. It's like about being light too, like you don't want to bear yourself down and you don't want to make a bunch of trash with your food. So there's like this, interesting way. And then that's where the gearheads get. He's like, you start getting into like backcountry camping and people are taking like their photos of like, this is what I'm bringing for 6 days. And it's like a thin little Ziploc bag with like whatever oatmeal ready to get hot water poured in it, or, yep, you know, like all that shit that you make, like, and it just, that kind of starts to appeal to me in a different way too, of like packing for efficiency. Car camping is,
yeah,
car camping's fun if you don't have a good head on your shoulders about camping, because you could just overpack. And that's the best thing about car camping, is like, well, I'll just throw an extra hoodie and sweatpants in there. And thank God I did the first time I went car camping, because, yep, it was fucking freezing in my tent. I had to go out and get more layers in addition to all the other shit I brought. I was like, oh, thank. And then you can have like your cooler stays in your car and you don't have to worry about like bears and shit. You can open it up, yep, and get. I love, one of my favorite things about car camping is getting stoned and like doing what I call puttering, where you kind of just like move around and reorganize the campsite. You're like, okay, well, I could put these clothes away. Let me get my flip-flops out for later. Okay, here, let me get, oh, we should pour some, the beers, we should get, the thing we did on our camping trip that I loved was before we went up, you had like a mesh bag and we put like 8 tall boys in the mesh bag and just put it in the creek to keep
them, oh, yeah, cold. You sink them, man.
Yeah.
You sink them.
Put a,
yeah,
rock over the mesh bag and just let the, yep, and come back to creek chilled beers, dude.
The best.
Where we
and
almost
hide it.
We almost saw Mitch die.
Oh, I still run through my head how his upper body strength surprised me so much. I literally, both of us are comfortable in the water, and both of us afterwards looked at each other and said, I was ready to jump in. If he was going down, I was ready. I had to.
There was a little bit of a rushing creek by us, and we had just hiked, and we were all hot and sweat. So we were like kind of sitting in like a little like shallow part of it, just soaking our feet in our asses, just getting a little chilly. Felt nice.
But hold on. We have to talk about, us three are just kind of like the easy to talk to, and we can talk to anybody.
And that's what we look like a Far Side cartoon, yeah, together. It's like, we're like 900 pounds of human. We look like, yeah, honestly, we look like the personification of a cock and balls. Like Ross is our 6'7" hog in the middle. And then 2 6-foot, Mitch ain't short, uh-huh, either. 2 6-foot-2, 300 pound testicles sitting next to you. And we're drinking tall boys and we're roasting each other. And we,
in front of these people that are having a good time in the river. These family.
It's like 9 people. And they're like, oh, and these people are fucking wasted.
Yep. Yep.
And it turns out one of them works at a beer distributor, and they're all beer snobs in a fun way, where they're like, you guys want to try this? And they keep pouring us little plastic cups of 11% ABV fucking, you know, a Saison, a sour, a barnyard, you know, like a barnyard IPA. You're like, what the fuck is even that sentence mean? But we're getting all kind of drunk, and then Mitch gets like, he wants to like go under, like submerge. Yep. So he walks a little out into the rushing
doesn't
creek.
Doesn't tell anybody. Just walks
out there. There's like a pseudo dam, like a big branch had fallen over, and Mitch is kind of holding it, and it's like, oh, that might work. But as the water's rushing, Mitch looks like he's kind of like water skiing on this thing. Like he's holding it and the water's rushing. And then as we're watching him, and me and Ross look at each other like, what the fuck? And then when we look back, Mitch is like horizontal, like his legs go out from underneath him. And he's completely parallel to the, and the water is rushing, and he's holding on to this branch for dear life. And it's like, and we're like, oh my God, me and Ross think we're going in. He gains his footing. This dude pulls himself up from like fully horizontal back to vertical, comes out. He's fully dressed, obviously, somehow. He's like, comes out, and he's like, whoa. And we were like, we thought we were going to lose you for a second. It didn't affect him at all.
Nope. Just like nervously giggling. He's like, whoa, that could have been bad. And we're like, yeah, that could have been horrible.
And that instantly connected us to this group of old. And then these campers were all had different setups. So we were stoked to hear, like, another thing is, you have 3 beers with someone, they're going to invite you back to their setup. Maybe to fuck their wife in front of them or whatever, but mostly just to brag about, this one guy had a Sprinter van with a pisser inside that he was so proud of because he has to pee in the middle of the night.
Shower in the back. Usually you're asked, like after three beers, you are asked back, but it's usually because they made too much chicken.
Yes.
And they're like, hey, we made way too much food.
They dropped corn off for us, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Roasted corn.
By the way,
beautiful.
I got to say, after my last camping trip, the one I went to in Leo Carrillo, corn on the cob, that shit is made for camp. Unbeknownst to me, I had never done it before. But we randomly, he's like, I got corn on the cob in the fridge. I'm like, to my buddy, I'm like, bring it. We'll eat it. Because you could just throw it on the fire in the hut. Yeah. Like, you could throw it on the grill and it cooks. And then you could throw the cob in the fire as well. And there's something, you don't even need butter. You're just sitting around eating. And then when you throw the corn in, you get a little popcorn. You hear it.
There you go.
You know, you get a little extra. You get a little audio texture. It improves the whole thing.
You do.
Yeah.
I forgot. You do a potato bar, like a hot potato bar. You get potatoes. You got cut them into a little bit, put foil on it, put it on the fire, like in the fire actually.
Yeah,
and you get tongs
pull it out later.
Sour cream, cheese. It's like a Wendy's potato bar.
Oh,
great.
Fuck yeah, dude. Oh man, now I'm hungry.
It's great.
Now, instead of wanting to go camping from this conversation, now I just want to go make a fucking tray of scrambled eggs. I ate 14 yolks after I got off the pod with Ross.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, now I've got so many ideas and what food we can bring. It's gonna be great.
Same. And I have gear and like I'm getting a Subaru Outback next. So
oh, nice, man.
Yeah,
that's great.
So I'll be ready to go.
Awesome.
What, before we get you out of here, we'll start. Yeah. I want to hear more about jury duty. But before that,
okay,
do you have a bucket list campsite or camping adventure that you're like, I gotta go for blank? At some point in my life, I'd love to do blank, or I did this once, now I want to go back and spend a week there or something like that. Do you have any of that on your?
I gotta think. A lot of people see me as like the national park guy, and I love them, but I haven't been to all of them. I'd love to hit all those. I'd love to go down to Patagonia. They do a lot of stuff down in Chile, and it's just so beautiful down there. It's like otherworldly. It's not camping, but I want to do that like Antarctica thing where like you're on a science boat, you're like on a scientific ship, but you are there like as an assistant. So you're making coffee, you're handing out food to the scientists, but you get to go to Antarctica.
Yeah.
And you get to actually do that kind of stuff. I want to do parts of the AT. I'd like to do like a part of the Appalachian Trail with my family. That'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
It's beautiful. I'm trying to think.
I would love to do Patagonia. I would love to do Machu Picchu. I would love to go to Galapagos.
Yeah.
I know that's not really camping either, but those are like my nature destinations in life. And I'd like to attach some wilderness-y glamping even. Buddies of mine hiked Machu Picchu with like a guided tour, and each night ended on a pre-built kind of like cabin setup with like a hot tub and someone cooking a big meal every time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's my level of camping. Like that's mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. That's I would like to do that, where you're like in nature getting some physical activity, but you don't have to like carry beans for this one. Yeah.
Yep. I think Everest is not on my list. Like Mount Fuji would be cool. The mountain in South Africa. I forget the name of that.
Kilimanjaro.
But my friend, Kilimanjaro. They say they do that too, where they, you know, you have someone carry your stuff up, but you know, every night you're eating like a king. You're thousands of feet up.
My buddy did Kili, and he has this funny story that he was up there at the summit with his friends, and they were all taking pictures, and he's just sitting there, and they're like, "Hey, Paul, do you want to take a picture or anything like that?" And he's like, and they like realize he has like extreme altitude sickness. He's like not paying attention at all, and he's like, so the picture of him is just kind of like this. And then he survived. He made it. He was okay. He's like, but when he tells the story, he's like, I almost didn't get a picture at the summit of Kilimanjaro because I was so exhausted.
Oh man, Zion. I've done Zion a bunch. Like I've done the Narrows and I've done the Western Trail. But you can go in the backcountry back there, and I'd like to do that as well.
Oh hell
like,
yeah.
Southern Utah, everyone needs to go. Like Bryce Canyon.
I went to Moab on the show, and now I want to go back as a camper and get some of that like red clay camping done. Like that shit's
sleeping
on Mars.
You want to talk about another world, Moab, that whole town.
The vibes are weird there,
wild.
Man. Yeah.
But they have the aircraft, cemetery.
Yeah.
Where they have over like 40 aircrafts from all over the world. You can't go in anymore after 9/11 because they think
people get info on how to fly. I got the black box. I learned something.
Right. Right.
Well, enough about fucking camping. More important, the only thing more important than nature is consuming content, specifically free V content if you got the chance. Talk to us a little bit about Jury Duty. You were telling me about it when you booked it, but the trailer looks fucking rad. So I want to hear tell the listeners a little bit about it. Comes out this weekend that this episode's airing. So check it out tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, check it out. What we did, we Truman Showed somebody for 3 weeks, and it's a 3-week trial. It's a documentary style show where we put someone through a 3-week trial that isn't real. Everyone's an actor. Even the judge, us, the jury, the janitor even is an actor.
Everyone but one person.
Mm-hmm. and Ronald was our guy. We called him the hero because it's not a prank show. It's more of we send this guy through the hero's journey. It's 8 episodes. It's wild.
And James Marsden's in it, and he's playing himself, kind of stuck on jury duty in a funny way, too.
So James Marsden is playing a Hollywood version of himself.
Right.
To the point where it was wild. It was wild. But yeah, we did it for 3 weeks, and how we did it was amazing. It's documentary style. This guy signed up for a documentary about the jury system, but also he does not know that it's a hidden camera show as well.
So there's some justifiable reasons for some cameras to be there and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's no question about it. I don't want to give too much away. You guys have to watch it. It's on Freevee. And so to get there, I think you probably dealt with this too with True TV. How to get to Freevee is this way. It's free Amazon. So you do not have to have Amazon Prime. You actually go to the Amazon app. If you do have Prime, just type in Freevee, or you'll find Freevee, or just type in Jury Duty. It will be there. You can get the Freevee app, and it'll be right there. It's all free. So what it is it's just commercials.
Right. You don't need Prime to watch it. You just watch it with – yeah. So yeah. And honestly, if you search Jury Duty Freevee, you'll find it. But also go on Amazon, search Jury Duty, or search Freevee, and you'll find it.
Yep.
Ross, that's so fucking rad, man. That's such a fucking it's weird amazing. Vibe. It's like a improv, it's like living an improv scene. Like,
Every morning we'd have a meeting, and our director, Jake Szymanski, and our EP, Cody Heller, she would just sit us down, and Jake would be like, all right, guys, we have to hit these 5 things today. Before lunch, we have to get him to do this, 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 and this. And so we would have to set this up, and how we got him to sit in certain areas in the beginning, and he'd have to talk to this one person. And if he doesn't talk to this one person, everything's set off for the day, and you have to get it back. And it's amazing.
I can't wait to see it. I love magic trick TV. It's a little bit of I can't wait to see how you guys pull it off.
My wife and I were watching it, and she turns to me halfway through, and we have the screeners for it. She turns to me halfway through. She's like, people are going to love this, but also you forget that only one person's an actor. You start thinking everyone's an actor, just of how natural it is.
Right. That's fun.
The jokes and how they edit it. So I can't wait for you to see it. I think you're going to dig it.
I can't wait either.
If you enjoy comedy, if you enjoy, secret type of shows, we never pull a prank on them. We call them the hero because he's a hero in every situation.
Yeah, it's not Joe Schmo where you're making him look like the punchline.
No.
It's just like he's just an unknowing participant in a comedy show.
Yeah. And you're gonna fall in love with Ronald. Heart of gold.
That's so rad. And also you have podcasts, you have Good at Parties and Most Wonderful Pod.
Wonderful Pod of the Year. My co-host and I, Jack and Gonzalez DeRuthi, we watch really bad. Or I shouldn't say bad. The Christmas movies that you don't watch, we watch them and we talk about them. So we're going to have you on, man. We'll have you on.
I'm definitely coming on. So this weekend, check out fucking Jury Duty on Freevee. As for me, check out actionboys.biz for action movies from the 70s, 80s, and 90s talked about for a really long time. Yes, it's a Patreon, but we have some free episodes. Also,
hey, and I'm just going to stop you right there. If you're like, $5 is a lot, it is worth it. It is so worth it. And I'm friends with Gabrus. I don't need to give him my money, but I do. Because what they talk about, your dynamic is great. It's great. To the point where you're like, I kind of wish we all hung out. You're going to feel that. You guys do a great job. Yeah.
Check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die now on HBO Max. Bye, shitheads.
and mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
See, actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on!
Do it now!